All right, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis and chapter number 6. We'll read a verse there, and then I want to read a verse in Genesis chapter 39, and then in Ruth chapter number 2, a verse. I don't want to be like one fella. He said, take your Bibles and open it to anywhere you want to. We'll be by there directly. So, but I have to say this is, that would probably suit y'all fine because this is one of only two churches that I go to that if I don't preach over an hour, they want to boo me. And it's, look, you know, ain't you got, what's wrong? But it is good to be back again tonight, ain't it? I certainly enjoyed the Lord this morning. And I love, the Lord has called me to preach, and I love to preach. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes your gift can stand between you and what He wants to do, and I don't want that. I'd rather have His Spirit and His grace than me exercising my gift. 99.9% of the time, I'm going to exercise my gift. I think Brother Lester said I'd done that twice, but I've been here 10,000 times. So. But that's not bad, is it? All right, Genesis chapter number 6, and I'm just going to read one verse, verse 8. The Bible said, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then in Genesis chapter number 39 and verse number 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. And Joseph found grace in his sight. And then Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 10. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? I'm going to preach tonight, and as the Lord allows, through the remainder of the week, on those who found grace. Speaking specifically of Noah and of Joseph and of Ruth, though there are several others, David and Moses and so on, that the Scripture said that they also found grace. There was a day in which I used to use the phrase, I'm glad I've found the Lord. And then I heard somebody spiritual say that that wasn't right. But since I got to read my Bible, I found that it was right. Because the Bible said in the verse, it is time to seek the Lord. Isaiah said, seek the Lord while He may be found. Hebrew writer said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might obtain mercy and what? Find grace to help in time of need. Now, I've not been privileged to find, as far as tangible things in this world, that we would account of greatness a lot. I've never stumbled across large sums of money. If I ever find any money, it's usually pennies. It's always pennies. Usually one. And I'm too lazy to go down and get it. I'll just be honest with you. I leave it for those that collect pennies. But I'm glad that in this world, The scripture lets us know that we can find something that is beyond this world.
Amen.
And greater than anything this world can offer. Those who found grace. And aren't you glad that you can be accounted of the number of those who have come across and who have found the greatest thing that a man could find, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But in these three verses, I want to consolidate them and I want to preach tonight four introductory thoughts concerning those who have found grace, sort of laying a foundation. I'm not going to try to define grace, though there are some great definitions. The unmerited favor of God toward men. The acrostic grace, G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense is a great verse. But I don't know how you could take a human definition and embrace such a huge divine truth. And besides that, the Bible is not a book of definitions. It's a book of experiences.
Amen.
It's a book of enlightenment. But if we were to pull out one single verse that seems to give more light on this subject of grace, Brother Lester quoted it this morning, 2 Corinthians 8:9, he said it probably used. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich.
Amen. Thank you.
If it could be said in a nutshell through a divine definition, that would be it, the scriptures. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Now let me just mention tonight those four thoughts in laying this foundation. Those who have found grace. First of all, it is evident in all three texts and in all the other references of anybody that found grace. Underscore this because this is utmost important. It is primary. It is a foundational truth. And it is something that you realize the further you go along with the Lord. And it is this truth. Those who find grace soon find that it was grace that found them.
Yeah.
Those who find grace soon find that it was grace that found them. But Noah found grace where? In the eyes of the Lord. In other words, the action is with the Lord and in God's eyes as he shows grace from his heart toward Noah. The other two places they find grace, the ultimate place of finding grace, of course, is in the eyes of the Lord. Those who find grace find that grace found them. But what a wondrous, refreshing truth it is to realize that this grace is not something that humanity goes out with a grace detector, as a metal detector, hoping that they might run on to this grace. But grace is something that God places in our path. It's sort of like, to me, the little girl that loses the tooth, puts it under the pillow. The mama goes in the middle of the night, takes the tooth out, and leaves a piece of money under the pillow. In the morning, the little girl rakes under the pillow and finds the piece of money and runs to mama, and what she say, "Look, mama, what I found." But she did find it, but it was placed there by design. And can I say to you, yes, we do find grace. But this grace is placed there by design. I would say it this way. Grace is a designed find by a divine mind. God Almighty made it to where you could run into grace. And how true this is throughout the scriptures and illustrated. I think one of the best that I like is in Luke chapter number 19. And verse number 3 tells us about Zacchaeus, and he sought, verse 3, to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press. Verse 4, he ran before, climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him. But look in verse number 5. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. You see, the truth of the matter is, if you ever get to looking for him, you're going to find out he's looking for you. If you ever get to listening for him, you're going to find out he's listening for you. If you ever get to seeking for him, you're going to find out he's seeking for you. Those who find grace find, soon find that grace found them. The prodigal son had no idea anybody was thinking anything on the other end of his repentant experience. And when he came to himself and got right, he started talking to himself, and he said, I'm going back home, going to make things right, I'm getting out of here. And he began to head back to the house. I seem to think and sort of think he didn't walk. I sort of think he was a running. He wanted to get back to the house, don't you? I think he was in a hurry to get back. But as he was a running toward home, he lifted up his head and he found out the Father was a running toward him. You ever get to running toward God, he'll run toward you. I was thinking about this matter of those who find grace soon find that grace found them. That in the case of Noah, that I believe that God's grace found him and God's grace channeled to him. God's grace came to him through the family. This is how he and God's grace came together. It was through a family experience. Because if you read the family tree of Noah, you'll find out that he's not the only one in his family that knew God. Previous to him, there were some other godly men. I believe that even Lamech, by naming Noah, Noah, which means rest, was an act of faith. And of course, Methuselah was a name given in reference to the judgment that was coming. When he shall die, it shall come. And then the one that really stands out to most to me is that man by the name of Enoch that walked 300 years with God. What a man of faith that he was, so much so that the Lord took him, the Bible said, and he was not. And that has been a story so profound down through the years to everyone, to imagine that a man could just walk right off into glory to be translated into heaven. But I cannot help but believe that grace that had come down into Enoch's life as he walked with God, that influence of the Lord in his life, somehow continued beyond him until it came into the life of Noah. Grace came to Noah through his family. And the reason why I know that is because the scripture tells us Enoch walked with God, doesn't it? And as the scripture defines and describes Noah, it says the same thing in verse number 9. Noah did what? Walked with God. No doubt as Lamech and as Methuselah sat around and talked by the fireside about the forefathers when Noah was just a little boy, they would reminisce the characters and what they were like. And then they'd come down to Enoch. And they'd begin to talk about Enoch and how the history of Enoch was. He was a man that knew God and personally walked with the Lord. And walked for over 300 years. And somehow I can't help but believe that that lodged in that little boy's heart. And that little old boy said, you know what? When I grow up, I'm going to walk with God too. And as a result of that influence of grace coming down through others' lives, it put an influence of grace in his life. And if you watched Noah, it was almost like he's watching Enoch, because they both did the same thing. They walked with God. I'm talking about those who find grace soon find that grace found them. But how did grace find them? One of the ways is through the family connections. Now, I'm not saying that the fact that your family is saved, that means you are saved. But what I am saying is that God, on many occasions, will influence hearts through other hearts that are close to them that know the Lord. There will be those impressions of an Elijah upon an Elisha, or a Moses upon a Joshua, or a Jochebed upon a Moses, and so on. Timothy, as far as his mama and his grandmama. And what I'm trying to say to you is how we ought to thank God if there's anybody here tonight that has trusted the Lord because of the imprint and the impressions and the leadership and the godliness and the grace that's been found in a mama or a daddy or a grandpa or a grandma or an old preacher that has come by through this area. And God has used family connections to bring you to the place to where you could hear the gospel and be convicted of the Holy Ghost and be born into the family of grace and experience this grace because of somebody that loved you. Amen. Thank God if you were raised in a godly home. How blessed that is. Those who find grace through family connections. Also, I'm thinking of Joseph. Those who find grace, many times find grace through forceful connections. I mean by that, Joseph, of course, finds grace in the eyes of his father Jacob there at the house for 17 years. Had it been his bidding and his will, I'm sure he would have never left that house. He would have stayed close by the radiation and admiration and favor of his dad. But it was not to be that way. Through the providence of God, it was as if God's hand forced Joseph into other settings and situations that he would have never, by his own design, desired to be there. It reminds me of what Peter said there. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He said, therefore, submit yourselves unto the what? Mighty hand of God. It's as if God's hand in humility is pressing you and forcing you into other great reservoirs of experiences of grace that you would have never known nor ever experienced had God not swept you into those places, had He not forced you into those places. Had he not brought you to those places under the mighty hand of God? And of course, you never find grace up here. You always find grace in the lowest spots of life. And that's why God's not pushing Joseph up to begin with, but he's pushing him down to where down there he could find some grace. And somebody said, why am I so under pressure? Why is my job going? How come I'm so sick? Why is life going? He's getting you down where grace is. Where you can see and focus on grace. But he has to force you down there. He's not, you know, those hard times of sweating out in those fields and spending time in that pit and being sold by those gypsies and being locked up in prison. But he learned this much that there's not only grace at the Father's house, but there's grace in every situation that we get into. He found grace, but he found it where he didn't want to find it. And there is grace to find, but we're resisting the places to where grace can be found. We don't want to find it where it can be found. But take heart, children, whether you want to or not, he's going to press you down. No, that's not the boss pushing you down. That's not the circumstance pushing you down. That's not your health pushing you down. That's God pushing you down. You say, why? Because there's some grace down there. He wants you to locate some grace. He found grace. Those who find grace soon find the grace found them through family connections, through forceful connections, but also when I think about Ruth, using those three characters, Ruth found grace through foreign connections. Of course, she's a Moabite. The history and ancestry of the Moabites are born out of incest as far as Lot and his own daughter. It is a nation of idolatry and adultery with no godly connections at all. She's a foreigner. She is a stranger to the household of faith until one day some foreigners showed up. And you can, you know, discuss and all that other stuff about the move that Elimelech made and so on down to Moab. Seems to be the wrong move, but isn't it amazing how God could even take our wrongs to work the right in somebody else's life? Doesn't mean you ain't going to have to pay, but somehow grace is still flowing in bad situations. And it was down there, even in the midst of death and sorrow and bitterness and heartache, that an old girl's heart picked up on grace. And she headed out of that country into a foreign land with one thing in mind. I'm headed for grace. And I'm going to tell you, that's my story. Not being raised in church and under the sound of the gospel, and you've heard me say it so many times, I'm so glad that God brought some foreigners into a foreign heart. Yeah. And at 14 years old, for the first time, I could hear the gospel, and the Holy Ghost could convict my heart and birth me into the family of God. And thank God, now I'm no longer a stranger nor a foreigner, but a fellow citizen of the household of grace. That which was so foreign to me now is no longer foreign. But I'm at home where the grace of God flows. I was at home this morning as God's grace. I'm at home tonight. Isn't that amazing? As I said, as I sat there and those dear precious girls were singing and playing those instruments, my thought was, Brother Gene, if the Lord, here's where my soul was, if the Lord were to say to me, preacher, I'll put you anywhere on earth that you want to be, the highest mountain, the most beautiful set night, I said, Lord, just leave me alone. I'll stay where I'm at. Couldn't have thought of another place with the grandeur that I was experiencing in that place. I'm talking about those who find grace soon find that grace found them. Now, the second thing I want to bring to your attention, laying the foundation of this matter of those who find grace. Aren't you glad you found grace? And even better than that, aren't you glad when you realize that it was grace that found you? That when you looked up, you realized He was looking down. When you run toward Him, He was running toward you. When you was looking for Him, He's looking for you. When you was listening for Him, you found out He was listening for you. I'm glad for that. But the second thing I want to bring to your attention, not only those who find grace soon find that grace found them, but I want you to notice also that those who find grace, talking about Noah and Joseph and Ruth, and you can spread it on out to the others. Those who find grace soon find that grace is all you need to find. Grace becomes the end of the search. The seeking is over. Because in grace you will find all that you'll ever need. Those who find grace soon find that grace. No matter where you're at, no matter what you're going through, no matter how great the need, grace, Paul said, my grace, God said to him, is sufficient for thee. His grace, thank God, will meet every need, no matter what it is. And it's amazing how that we lean on so much for our sufficiency, whether it's our own strengths or other people. And not necessarily bad leaning props. They're props that God has given us along the way. Connections, as I said, family and so on, that we love and we need them, such as a husband and wife and children and a job and things of that nature. And it keeps on expanding. But as we walk with the Lord, what the Lord does is He begins to trim all that down and narrow it down. Because what He's wanting us to realize and bring us to the point is that the fullness of our need is found in Christ, who is our grace. And one of these days, we're going to have to separate from everything. And the older we get, the more we realize that. Separating from our health and separating from a husband or separating from a wife or separating from children and things of that nature. Slowly but surely He takes away the props, but He never removes His grace. Thank God, it's always there. And how much more precious the grace becomes when the props are removed. To know that God's grace can fill the void and can strengthen you in times of which you have lost some other things that you have held on to so tightly. I was preaching out in Greenville, North Carolina. The pastor was taking me to a family's home to eat. And he said to me, he said, "Now, preacher, this is a gracious family, but I need to forewarn you. The man of the house believes that God is going to let him win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, $3 million. And so we went and we ate and everything about the family and the man seemed normal and had a good time of fellowship. And after the meal, he pushed back from the table and he said, "Now, preacher, I need to tell you something." I said, "What is that?" He said, "I believe the Lord is going to let me win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes." I said, "Is that right?" He said, "Yes, and I'm going to tell you why. I can help my church out financially." Said, "We have a missions program. I can give a bunch of it to missions. I can help my..." And he said, "I'll tell you what, I love your preaching." And said, "I'm going to tell you right now, you're getting $30,000. That's what he said. But he said, "All I want you to do, Brother Jay, all I want you to do, only thing I ask of you is that you'll pray that I'll win that Reader's Digest sweepstakes, $3 million. A mean streak came up my back. I shouldn't have said it, I know. But I looked at him and I said to him, "Sir, if I had faith enough to believe that I could pray and you would win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes, $3 million, I wouldn't pray for you. If I had that kind of faith, I'd pray for me." What do I want to go home with $30,000 when I can take the whole $3 million? I don't know if he won it or not, but I ain't never got my money, I'll tell you that. But isn't it so that we're all looking for a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow? We're looking for the answer that's going to be found in a lottery ticket or something that's going to happen. That is, that we know that if this happens, then we're going to be all right. But I'm going to tell you something. We're putting too much stock in this old world. It's dangerous to rest in a 401k now. It's dangerous to rest in Social Security now. And that stimulus program ain't got to me yet. I don't know about you. It's dangerous to do so, but it's amazing as to how much we're resting on that is so feeble and cannot hold us up. It's like a broken stick when we have the sustaining power of the grace of God that can hold us up under any circumstance. You see? I illustrate it. In Noah's water situation, he faced the greatest storm the world has ever known. The greatest raging storm that the world has ever known. But in that storm, God gave Noah one thing that would get him through. And what was it? He gave him grace. Now, I don't know what you're going through. Maybe you got a storm bigger than Noah's. I don't know. I'm not going to minimize your storm. But I sort of think if grace can get Noah through his storm, it ought to be able to handle your storm and my storm. And he didn't give anything else. Thank God. He just gave the grace. And it took care of everything else. Joseph's down in Egypt. And I say to you, he's in a bad situation down there, in bondage, under pressure, as I said. But yet in all of those 22 years of being made a slave, God gave him one thing and it sustained him through it all. He gave him grace. Now, I don't know what you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for a change in somebody else's attitude or somebody else's life, or maybe a miracle's going to happen. You're going to check your bank account and there's all kinds of money in there. Don't count on it, but count on grace. Grace carried Noah through that storm. It carried Joseph through all that pressure. And it carried Ruth through all that hunger and all that death and all that disappointment. God's grace is sufficient. I'm laying a foundation. Those who find grace soon find that grace found them. Those who found grace find that grace is all you need to find. I'm glad for that, aren't you? Yes, I'm glad the search is over. Yes, sir. I'm glad that in the midst of the Dow Jones of dropping out, somebody said he must have been a Baptist. Up one day and down the next. But I'm glad I'm not resting in that. I'm resting in God, the same grace that saved me to sustain me. And I feel that it'll be more than enough. But I want to move on to my third thought. Those who find grace soon find that grace found them. Those who find grace find that grace is all you need to find. But then I want to bring your attention that those who find grace never cease finding grace. In other words, once you find grace, you'll know what it looks like the next time. And once you found grace and how sufficient it is in this place, then when you go to this next place, that's what you're going to be looking for there, because you know that if it met the need there, it's going to meet the need here. Instead of laying around trying to scheme and mathematically figure out and understand everything, all you got to do is look for what you know to look for, and that is grace. Yes, and I don't know how long it takes for us to pick up on that, but I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to be able to recognize grace when you see it. As Noah found grace, and the storm was over, and God said to Noah, come on out here, boy, and I'll magnify this tomorrow night, but he said, come on out here, boy, I'm going to show you a swath of something pretty that you've never seen before, but it came out of your storm. And he throwed that rainbow, the first one ever, in the sky. And he said, I want you to look up at that rainbow. Now, I don't know about you, but I sort of think that when old Noah looked at that rainbow, it reminded him of how God can get you through the storms by His grace. Don't you? He is a-looking at it. But he lived 350 years after the flood. So in 350 years, how many rainbows you think he saw? But I don't think he ever saw a rainbow. But what he didn't point it out to a grand young'un and great grand young'un and great great grand young'un and say to him, you see that rainbow? That reminds me of a storm I came through. And God's grace delivered me, and I can't never look at that rainbow that I don't think about the storm and think about the grace of God. And every time he saw a rainbow, he recognized it. And it was a fresh reminder of God's grace, no doubt, in his life. And isn't it precious to have fresh reminders of things that look so stormy, but then God put a rainbow on it? You ever had that happen? Maybe in a young'un's life, looked so stormy, and God put a rainbow on it. And every time you look into those eyes, you realize that God's grace has been at work in your life. And I thought about Joseph. I mean, for Noah, I'm going to tell you, he could see grace in big ways. But when we think about, let's go to Ruth. When we think about Ruth, she could appreciate grace in little ways. Now, sometimes God will show you grace and you'll recognize it in big swath. That's kind of like your salvation. Boy, we always say, thank God I'm saved, and we do, because that just sort of stirs up that rainbow within us of the grace of God. It just, whoa, boy, that's so blessed. But with Ruth, when she went into that field, she was looking for grace, but she wasn't looking for it in big ways. She never imagined it come big. She thought grace come little, because she's looking for just enough to sustain her and her mama-in-law, because they were bankrupt there. Her husband had died, her mama-in-law's husband died. They were up there as beggars, and so she's going through that field, and she's looking for one little grain of barley at a time, because she couldn't get out in front of the reapers. She had to either go to the corners or follow behind her. And it's like picking berries in a berry patch that's already been picked over. You don't expect to get what the fellas in front of you got. And so she'd go through there, and she'd get one at a time, and she'd throw it in there. But I'm going to tell you something. She learned to recognize God's grace in little ways. And you see, God not only wants you to be able to see His grace in big ways as far as salvation, but honey, all along life's journey, He's throwed those little additives of grace in your life that's going to add up. But if you're not careful, you'll miss them one at a time. But if you learn to recognize them one at a time, you won't have to wait until it grows up big. You won't have to wait for a handful. You won't have to wait for a veil full. But you'll just see that one in there and say, whoopee, got me one. Oh, looky here, there's another one. Oh, then somebody said, I don't like to pick when there ain't much there. Not her, buddy. She's hungry.
Yeah.
She wants some grace. You don't have to have big grace. I'm going to tell you, sometimes He'll just let you have and experience some little grace. But if you know it, you'll be able to thank God for it and enjoy the little grace.
Amen.
So I went out this morning. My car started. Woo! I woke up this morning, my back wasn't hurting. We had some rain today. Woo! Sure enjoyed the service yesterday.
If you ain't careful, you'll miss all them little things.
Yeah.
Huh?
Got a phone call from my son. He's doing good.
Don't you like that?
Here, Ernie, throw something in there. Maybe he's done something for you. I don't know.
Huh? Them little things. I mean, nobody else would recognize it. They may even think you're just sort of, you know, little mad, you know, but that's all right. I wonder if he's done anything for you today. Oh, ain't that something? That's a, oh, boy, just a bunch of grace coming in little portions. Huh? You ever put your shoes on and say, thank you, Lord? Hmm? Put this suit on today somebody bought for me. And I was able to recognize grace. That's grace. Old mountain preacher up there where I'm from, that's what he'll say. He said, I see grace. That's his favorite saying, I see grace. Somebody said, what is that? Grace. Woo. Grace. 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 You understand what I'm saying? Lord, wonder how much grace has come your way today.
Yes, sir.
And you didn't even recognize it. I wonder how many people woke up today and couldn't see. Might have been a minor stroke. And here we are looking on one another. Boy, to come to church and just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. I could go on with that all night. I'm just thinking about some little, had that little grandbaby born. Of course, that's a big old swath there. That ain't no small swath. Said it looked just like me. Woo! It's a whole bag. Pray for it. Gonna need a lot of grace, I'll tell you that. And going back to Joseph, I mean, they could recognize Noah. Yeah, they could recognize grace in big ways, and Ruth could recognize grace in little ways, and then Joseph could recognize grace in all ways. Whether he's at the father's house, or whether he's in a pit, or whether he's having to travel, whether he's being a servant, or whether he's locked up in prison, no matter where he went in like this. They said, boy, what you looking for? He said, grace, it's in here somewhere. I know it is. I know it is. God's got it in here for me. Oh, there it is! And no matter what situation, honey, I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know where you're going through. I don't know what your situation is. But if you look around, I promise you, you'll find grace.
Thank you, my God.
Let's make sure you got everything out of the way so you can have a running spell. Because you found grace. Woo! I'm enjoying this.
Yeah.
Those who find grace soon find the grace found them. Those that find grace find that grace is all you need to find. And those who find grace never cease finding grace. Somebody said, what's he looking at? I'm looking at grace. Looking at grace. I don't know if I'm going to make an hour. Y'all might have to forgive me. Those who find grace. My last thought. Notice this. Talking about those who found grace. Those who find grace become the instruments through which all others find grace. You see, God doesn't give you grace so you can take it and hide it in the cupboard and brag on how much grace you got. Grace is not a big old pond that God fills behind your house so that when people come over, you can brag about how your pond of grace is bigger than their pond of grace. That's religion. Grace is not a pond. Grace is an ever-flowing river. It is that which God allows to flow into your life, and it is for you. Grace is for you. But it is sent to flow through you because there's people all around you that need grace too. And God released that grace. And that grace flowed through Noah, flowed through Joseph, flowed through Ruth, and on down through the years, flowed through grace himself, the Son of God, and flowed through the Apostle Paul, and flowed even to where you were. But it flowed through those who found grace. He's not interested in you getting you some grace and just putting it in your back pocket. That's not how grace works. Those who find grace become the instruments through which all others find grace. There is a human heart with a human connection with a divine finding of the grace of God that is being released from one heart to another heart. Grace flowing. You got sons and daughters and neighbors and people on the job and in this community that need the grace of God. And He intends on that grace flowing through us. Isn't it amazing how one person finding grace can have such an impact upon so many? That the reason why God put grace in that heart is because He had a million other hearts that He wanted to touch. And so He worked it in that heart. Think about it. Think about it. I thought about Noah now. We're talking about Noah. We're talking about, of course, Joseph. We're talking about Ruth. But think of the impact of grace in one person's life upon so many. You got no idea how many hearts that God is going to touch and transform because of the gift of grace that He's placed in your heart. And it may not be even in your time slot. You may not even know about it because it's going to move way beyond you. In the years ahead, if the Lord doesn't come, because that's the way grace flows. Yes. Now let's notice Noah, how He had such an effect. One man receiving grace. Think about Noah. And Noah found grace. One man found grace in the sight of the Lord. And what an impact. Somebody said, you know, ho-hum, I'm so glad. It's almost like Noah has no impact on us at all. I'm so glad Noah found grace. Well, let me ask you something. How many of you here tonight like fried chicken? Or you like chicken in any sort? Raise your hand.
Yeah.
You like chicken. Did you know that if Noah hadn't found grace, there wouldn't be no chicken? Huh? Noah found grace and they brought two chickens on board. By the way, they're an unclean bird. He brought two chickens on board. And because he found grace, we've been eating chicken for all these years. Huh? How many of you like red-eye gravy? Ham and bacon. Did you know if Noah hadn't found grace, wouldn't be no hogs? Brought two of them on board. He even goes further than that. If Noah hadn't found grace, they wouldn't be no you because everybody would have drowned. But one man found grace and it's had a tremendous impact upon the whole world for all of these thousands of years. The world may not recognize it, but they have reaped the benefits of one man finding grace. Sure have. Think about Joseph on a national scene. How that one man found grace. And little did he know that through that grace he was finding in those confined places, in those cells and prisons and slavery, that that grace was going to be an instrument. He was going to be the instrument through which that grace could flow through and save those old wretched brothers and save his daddy and save a nation that God would raise up on the national scene. But think about Ruth. In Ruth's situation, of course they all are, but in Ruth's situation, the benefit and blessing of grace in her life goes beyond as far as this world is concerned. It goes beyond even a family, see, but it goes into the eternal aspects. Because Ruth found grace. And because she found grace and hooked up to Boaz, and I'll preach about this later on. But out of that came Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. And David was the great, 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 great grandfather of who? Jesus, the Savior of the world. And if Ruth hadn't got grace, you wouldn't have got no grace because there wouldn't have been no Jesus. But in the providence of God, he chose to let that grace,
right,
eternal grace, flow through her heart that you could be included into the... And little did we know, we didn't even have a mind. Wasn't even conceived of as far as this world is concerned that when that little old pagan girl walked out into that field and found grace, that because she found grace, we were going to find grace. Those who find grace soon find that grace found them. Those who find grace find that grace is all you need to find. Those who find grace never stop finding grace. And those who find grace become the instruments through which all others find grace. I don't know about you, but I don't care about leaving this world with worldly possessions. That wouldn't bother me to die broke because it ain't going to help me after I'm dead anyway. But I'm going to tell you how I want to leave this old world. I want to leave this old world with the impressions of the grace of God
on sealed in many hearts. In my children that will eventually reach out into my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren if the Lord don't come, and the great and the great and the great. And in 100 years there may be a heart that knows the Lord Jesus because God put grace in me and it kept on flowing. Have you ever thought about that? Let me just put an end or a period to this service thinking about how grace got to you and how grace got to me. Have you ever thought about that? Now, there's no way you can go all the way back. Man, that thing, it just follows a trail that's impossible to follow because we don't know everybody that was connected. But in the primary, in your experience of grace, when you received the Lord Jesus, when you got saved, who was it that God used the most to bring grace to you? Now, you may not know even the name of the person. You may not be able to remember that. But yet you know that there was a person, somebody you worked with, or maybe it was a mom or a daddy or an aunt or an uncle, but you know who God used initially. And I guarantee you there'll be somebody that He allowed grace to touch your heart because grace had touched their heart.